Father, we come to you at this moment in the service, and we need a word from you. It's not enough just to have a sermon. It's not enough even just to have a message. We need a word. We need you to speak into our hearts. And so today, Lord, we know that by your Spirit and by your word, we lay our hands on your word, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us today. Say something to our hearts, to every heart that is here. I know that you have a word that you want to speak into every single heart and every single life. And so, Lord, we open ourselves up for your Spirit to speak into our spirits that which would bring glory to the Son of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Imagine with me that you are in biblical times and you are at the kitchen table. It's payday. You're at the kitchen table and it's payday. See, in Israel, in biblical times, many of you know this as well as I do, the economy did not run on dollars and cents. You bartered. In other words, if you did a deed, you bought and sold in goods, and so at the end of the day, when your job was done, you were paid in, maybe you were paid in peas, or maybe you were paid in beans, or rice, or eggs, or peanuts for that matter. Some of you may feel like you're getting paid in peanuts now. But you bought and sold. You didn't get a paycheck. You got goods. You beans, peas, rice, wheat, corn, grapes, sheep, cattle, whatever you bought and sold. That's how you were paid. And so when you sat at the kitchen table, it's interesting. It was the same question when the Jews sat at the kitchen table. It's the same question that you and I wrestle with today, and it is, okay, how do I divide this up? How do I make this last? How do I pay my bills? How do I, you know, what do I do? How do I do with my goods? It's the same question. I know I have to be thrifty. I know I have to be a good steward. I know that I have to make certain that I am responsible while I do. And so it's the same question. And here's the thing. It's the same tension that many people feel today. And what's fascinating, there's a story in the Bible in 2 Chronicles. If you want to get your Bibles, we're going to be there in just a moment. And it's not going to come up yet, but in just a minute it's going to come up. There's a story in the Bible that speaks to the same thing. Here's the setting. Let me set it up for you. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles here in just a moment. In 2 Chronicles 29, 30, 31, and 32, that section is a great time for the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel has just kind of come out of some hard times. Since Solomon, who was David's son, since Solomon was king, it was downhill. Okay, are you getting a picture? I mean downhill. You think the slide that America is in right now, you should have been then. I mean, they were in a slide. And they were declining morally, they were declining spiritually, they were declining economically, their power as far as their military power, they were declining in every way. In King Hezekiah's reign, there was a revival, there was a reform. It was an upturn. It was one of the few upturns in that national history from Solomon forward, was King Hezekiah's reign. And there is, in the midst of that, there is a key in that story, a section that clues us into part of the reform, part of the revival, part of what it took for them to turn things around personally and nationally. And so this morning I thought it would be good for us to read that and share that together. 2 Chronicles, I want us to begin reading at verse 31. I'm sorry, chapter 31, verse 5 and verse 6. Are you there? I hear pages starting. I'm going to wait till everybody gets there. 2 Chronicles. If you're looking for 2 Chronicles, divide your Bible in half and turn left, and you will see it very, very shortly. I'm reading in verse 5. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of the grain and the wine and the oil and the honey and all of the produce of the field. Somebody say all. I need to say it again now, a little louder now. All of the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the children of Israel and Judah who dwelt in the cities of Judah brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, also the tithe of the holy things, which were consecrated to the Lord their God, and they laid them in heaps. This morning, I'm going to share just for a few moments on the tithe. Now, I have been here for a year and a half, and I'm going to tell you right up front, you do not hear me speak directly about tithe and offering often, but I am this morning, and I do so unashamedly. I am not ashamed to preach about the tithe and the gift and the offering. It is part of God's word to us, and so I want to talk with you about it this morning. See, when the Israelites were sitting at the kitchen table, they would try to get a sense of exactly they would kind of look through and at the end of the day, the end of the week, the end of the month, the end of the harvest season, whatever it might be, they would take a look and they would say, okay, this is what I've been paid. This is what I've been given. This is my income. This represents all that I've gained this year, all that I have this year. And they would go through and they would look through and they would begin to count up. And as they begin to count up and 2, 3, 4, 5, there's 11 here, okay, so that's close to a tenth. Let's see. This, 1, 2, 3, yeah, both of these would equal about a tenth. They look through, and you know they had canned beans in biblical times. And 2, 4, 10, and canned corn, cream style, I might add. There's 10 of each of those there, so there's that. Let's see, rice, man, Lord bless with rice this year. And so, I don't know, that's not really quite that's a little more than a tenth, but I'm going to put it over here anyway, a tenth. Let's see, 2, 10th there, 10th there, and let's see. So what they would do is they would go through, and there's no way to divide that. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. No way to divide that in a tenth, so they would just go through, and they would sort out, and they would figure out that which was God's, and they would just sort out. That's close to a tenth there. And so they would separate out a tenth. Now watch this. Are you with me this morning? Is there anything that's unclear? Okay. Yours, God's. Now, here's the thing that's striking about this. Here's the thing that is striking about this. As you sit where you are sitting and you look, it just occurs to me. A question occurs to me. And the question that occurs to me when you talk about the tithe and you look at it is this. What is the big deal about the tithe? You're not breathing this morning. I can tell you're not. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, when you look at it like, this is, whose is this? Or this is, right? All of this. All of this is mine. This is to pay my house payment. This is to pay for the repairs. This is to pay for the new camel that I'm going to have because the old camel is an old model. And he's about wore out. And I have a new camel. This is to pay for the new camel. And this is to put the 401k in the college fund. And this is whose? Okay. And this is God's. And here's the thing, when you look at it, if this is all mine and this is God, what is the big deal about the tithe? See, there's this attitude, this idea that there's something unfair or unjust about the tithe. There's nothing unfair or unjust about the tithe. In fact, we ought to be shouting hallelujah that we get to keep the 90% and that we're privileged to honor God with the 10%. Instead, we somehow feel like we're cheated or have given up something. Really? Really, we've given up something? You understand what I'm saying? This is mine, and that is, and the thing that is interesting about it is that there's nothing unfair about it. God does this. God says, all right, here's the thing. I want you to take 10% off of the top, 10% off of the top, and I want you to give it to me as a sign of your devotion to me. As a sign that you know that I have provided this for you, that I've given you the strength to get up in the morning, I've given you the ability to think, I've allowed you to be able to earn a living and to have an increase and have income, and so I want you to take 10% off the top and give it to me as a sign of devotion to me. Because the fact of the matter is, in reality, all of it is just peanuts to him, right? I mean, he owns it all, right? He owns it all, and so all of it is just peanuts. It has nothing to do with the amount, the dollars amount. It has to do with, I am devoted to God. I honor God. I know he's my source. I know he's the one that allowed me and helped me, and so I'm going to give him his. And we get all weirded out about it. And people get all strange about it, about, okay, what constitutes the tithe and how much should I give and do I, is it before taxes, after taxes, before insurance, before I pay the bills, after I pay the bills, but is it the gross or the, and it gets all strange. And when you get into that argument, you're missing the whole point. The whole point is not about the dollar amount. The whole point is about devotion and trust in God. That's the whole point. In fact, let me tell you, okay, can we just be, I mean, it's just us here, right? Anybody see anybody besides us here? Here's the thing, when you get into those technical, mathematical equations about do I pay off the gross or off the net before insurance, after insurance, before I pay the bills, after, what people are trying to do when they do that is they're trying to figure out how they can keep more and give less. Right? What they're trying to figure out is how I can keep a little more of what is God's and put it with mine. There you go. I had a guy come to a previous church, not in this church. I had a guy come one time and tell me, he said, "Well, I just don't agree with what you're teaching about tithe." He says, "Here's my tax return. Here's my adjusted gross income, and this is what I pay tithe on." I said, "Look, that's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine for you. But I will tell you this: you're not giving first fruits. You've paid the government first." You've paid the health insurance company first. You've paid all your other tax deductions first. And now you're giving God fourth or fifth or maybe sixth. You haven't given first fruits. You've given what's left. Right? And people get just strange about it. Now, are you okay? Just shake at me. I'm okay, Pastor. I'm still breathing this morning. I'm all right this morning. See, it's about trust. It's about devotion, devotion to the Lord. And so... we just get kind of strange about all that. Here's the thing. People get kind of odd because here's what they do, is they do this. Hard eggs. Here's what they do. They sat at the kitchen room table before they've ever separated out, and they say, "This is mine. This is mine." When in fact, it actually is all God's. Right? It's all His. Forget 10%, 50%, 75%, 90%, 95%, 99%. Forget all of that. 100% of it is God's. 100% of it is God's. It doesn't become yours until you have separated out God's. Hello? Are you with me this morning? It's not yours. You cannot claim it as yours. You can't say, "That is mine. That belongs to me. That is what I have earned. That is what I have done. That's all. That's mine." You can't say that until you say this. Okay? Right? And we get all strange about it. Now, Pastor, who are you to tell me that I can't say that until I... Listen, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. I'm not one to, but I will tell you this. If you want to consider it all yours before you separate out God's, God will let you. God will let you. And He will also let you get it on your own. Right? He'll let you get it on your own. You wonder why you struggle? You wonder why? Now come on, I'm going to preach to you a moment this morning. You wonder why you struggle and why you can't pay your bills and, "Oh, I just got a raise and now I got less than I had for I had the raise," or "I just got a promotion and now I got less than I had for I had the promotion," or "Now my house payment is smaller but I still don't have anything left." That's because you consider it all yours and you look at God and God says, "It's yours." "Oh God, why can't I? Will you help me?" And God says, whoa, wait a minute, whoa, hold on a second. You said... It's all yours. If it's yours, then have at it. It's yours. We separate out ours and we claim it all as ours before we ever give God His. Listen, if you ever take claim to it, if you ever take claim to it before you tithe on it, you will have a hard time separating out the tithe. Am I preaching the truth this morning? We have some tithers in the building. Am I preaching the truth this morning? If you claim it, if this is mine, then I'm going to have a hard time giving up what is mine. But if I see it all as God's, then I'm honored to give Him His, and I'm blessed that He lets me keep mine, right? You can give the Lord praise for that. The thing that happens, though, is this. We get kind of, "Well, you know, man, I really need a new camel. I mean, I know I got this is what I have, and man, the old camel, he's about 19 years old. Camels aren't supposed to be sway back, but my camel's sway back. He doesn't have humps, he has valleys. That's how old my camel is. And hoofs, man, you should see my camel's hoofs. And he is blind. My camel is blind. He cannot see. I have to pay attention. His headlights don't work. My camel's headlights don't work. And I really need a new camel. But I know that I can't because I've already spent more than I ought to spend. There's more month than there is money. Right? There's more month than there is money and stuff. But I really need a new camel. How in the world can I afford a new camel? Well, you know, if God will understand. Right? God will understand. God knows I need a new camel. God knows my camel's headlights don't work. He knows the steering mechanism. You tell the camel to go left and he goes right. You tell him to go right and he goes left. God understands. And I really need a new tent. my tent is leaking. My tent, listen, when it rains, everybody in my tent runs outside to stay dry. That's how bad my tent is. And I really need a new tent. I need, and there's no way. Now I have not 90%, but about 92%. Well, I've got a new camel, but I really need a new tent. Where in the world can I come up with the money to get enough beans to get a new tent? Well, see, God understands. You know, God does not want my family sleeping in the rain. He doesn't want the zipper on our tent it just flaps. There is no zipper. It just flaps, and mosquitoes and gnats and God understands that I need a new tent. And what I really need is I really need a new boat. But not to fish in, mind you. I need a new boat to witness in. In fact, I'm going to name my boat Visitation. So that whenever I'm out on it, I can say I'm out on Visitation. Right? And if I come across somebody, oh my goodness, what an opportunity to witness. I'm out there fishing, and I can witness to them about me. I'm not fishing for fish. I'm a fisher of men. And because that's the case, God understands, right? God understands that I need a new boat, and I'm going to use it for a witnessing tool, and me and Visitation. You know, I'll be out on Visitation. And what I really need, one more thing. What I really need is I really need a break. And I can't afford a break. I can't afford to go away. But I know this time God will understand it. So I'm not gonna pay my tithe. I'm gonna take a vacation. Because even God said everybody needs a Sabbath. Right? And what we do is, listen, the issue is not the 10%. The issue is what you've done with the 90%. Here's what I know. Tithed on the first 10 bucks I made, wanted to buy a little red Bible, which I have. But I didn't buy it the first week because I only made $10. And Mama said the first dollar goes to God. So I worked the second week at Granddaddy's shop sanding fenders and seats and hoods on 4 to 8 inch tractors by hand to get a second $10 all week long so that I would have enough to pay God his and still afford mine. See, the issue is not the 10%. Everybody makes the issue the 10%. Listen to me. Let me show it to you again. Listen, there is no way. I'm gonna tell you something. If you cannot make it on the 90%, you're not going to make it on the other 10%. You hear what I'm telling you? Something else is going on. You need to have somebody wise that can speak into your life about finances and about money and about how to budget and about... Is this too real for you? The truth is this. If you can't make it on the 90, you're not going to make it on the 10. In fact, it can be 110, 120. If you can't make it on the 90, you're not going to make it on the rest. And here's, we get kind of strange about this. And in fact, there's a verse. Brother James, can you bring up? It is Malachi, the third chapter, the eighth verse. Malachi, the third chapter, the eighth verse. All right, read it out loud with me. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In the tithes and offering. See what you're doing when you do that. I have a car payment to pay. I have a house payment to pay. I have all of this stuff. I need all this new stuff. And you take from what God has, you are, well, robbing God. You're robbing God. That's his. That's God's. This is mine. You are robbing God. Oh, no, wait a minute, Pastor. Are you calling me a thief? Now, listen, just be real clear this morning. I am not calling you a thief. I'm not even telling you that you're robbing God. God has already told you that. I'm not calling you a thief, but God does. I'm not calling you a robber, but God does. You understand what I'm saying this morning? In fact, those who have the right heart about it, those who have the heart, when they understand the 90 and the 10, and they understand, here's what the man who has the right heart about it, the man that has the right heart about it, he stands off and he looks, and he sees his, and he sees God's, and in the man that has the right heart about it, he says, you know what? That just ain't enough. The man that has the right heart about it says, you know what? There's some shingles at the sanctuary that need to be replaced, so I'm going to give a little more than just 10% because those shingles need to be replaced. Okay, come on now. Or there's a van that needs to be repaired, and so I know this. God's blessed me. Oh, I have so much blessings in my life. He has poured on the blessings in my life. He has helped me so much. I look back through my life and I realize how much I can give up another couple of cans of cream corn so that the church van can be repaired. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the tithe, and then there's offerings on top of that. They see a need in children's church or in the youth ministry or in the facility or in the music ministry. They see a need in missions, or they see a need in outreach. Maybe they see a need in helping the needy or the poor, and they say, look, I know God's blessed me. There's no doubt I wouldn't be where I am without God. There's no doubt if he took his hand off me tomorrow, I don't have enough in me to make it in this world, but God has poured into my life, and so I'm okay with pouring out a little more, with giving a little more to him. That's the man with the right heart. The man that loves God and gives God and pours out himself unto God. And so the point that I'm making to you this morning is that God moves in this way and in this man's heart. And here's the thing we miss. Here's the thing we miss. God does this because he loves you. Period. God doesn't have to do this. It's not forced on God. Nobody twisted God's arm. Nobody made God do this. Nobody forced his hand and made him do it and pushed him. God does this because he loves you. God gives you the ability to run the books or drive the forklift or hammer the nails or manage the people or take the x-rays or teach the kids. Oh, God gives you the ability to teach the kids. He does that because he loves you. He gives you the ability to earn a living because he loves you. And he knows that work is good for you. And he knows that there is reward for work. And he does this because he loves you. And we do this because we love him. Not because the preacher preached a sermon or used a fancy illustration. We do this because he loves us. See, there are two or three kinds of individuals this morning. In fact, I know that there are three kinds of individuals here this morning. There are the individual who, man, they have long ago, somebody helped them to figure this out, and they have the tithe and the offering thing. They have it figured out, and their hearts, man, they're just givers. They're generous people. Second kind of person that is here this morning is this. It's the person that's doing it, but they're doing it reluctantly. I mean, they just can't hardly seem to do it. And then the third type of person this morning is the person who just doesn't do it. Who just doesn't do it. In America today, the average church, 30% of their people truly tithe. In the average church today, 30% of their people truly tithe. 30%. Which means 60% has not got it quite figured out. And what I want to remind you of, what I want you to know this morning, is God does this because he loves us, and that's why we do this, because we in turn love him. You young people that are here, you young people, you young guys that are sitting here, you young ladies that are sitting here, listen to me. Listen to me. One of the greatest lessons that you can learn, I'm going to teach you right now. Early, when you earn your first dime, when you earn your first dime, you start practicing the tithe. It'll do two things in your life. One is it'll build God's trust. You will learn to trust in God and to give him. When you give him that tithe, you'll say, Lord, I know that you're going to help me on the 90% when I give you the 10%. You will learn to trust God. The second thing is this. You won't be in the position that many in this congregation find themselves, where they have spent so much that they cannot, literally cannot afford without giving something up to pay the 10%. To give the 10% to God. And so I challenge you as young people, on your first dime to your last dime, you pay the tithe and you start early. Amen. Listen to me, parents. One of the best things you can teach your children is to tithe, and to tithe early. Because they will overspend and get in debt where they cannot afford it unless you teach them early not to do that. Am I preaching the word this morning? This is the truth that I'm telling you this morning. This is the truth. So where do we go with that? What do we do with that? And there may be something here this morning that say, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know if I believe that. I mean, I don't know if I believe the tithe and what you're teaching, what you're saying about tithe. And I would say to you this morning, Leviticus, Brother James, can you go to the Leviticus verse that is there? And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to him. It is holy to him. So here you have a dilemma. If you don't believe in tithing this morning, if you're here this morning, you don't believe in tithing, you have a dilemma. God's word says the tithe, the tenth, belongs to who? To God, and the rest is mine. So if you don't believe in tithing this morning, you have a dilemma. And here's the dilemma. If that's not true, what else are you going to explain away? If that's not true, what are you going to believe? Am I just telling you the truth this morning? In other words, if you gut the Bible of any of its truth, then what else is true or false or not there? You have a dilemma when it comes to God and his word. If you don't believe all of what his word says, then what part of it do you believe? Or maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, well, Pastor, it's not that I don't believe it. It's just that I believe it's an Old Testament thing. It's an Old Testament thing. That's Old Testament. That's a belief in the Old Testament. Well, see, you got a dilemma there too. And here's the dilemma. Jesus in the New Testament prays Jesus praised the Pharisees one time? One time. In all of his years on earth, in those 3 to 3.5 years that he talked with them, he didn't praise them for anything. They had prayer wrong. They had fasting wrong. They had church wrong. They had religion wrong. They had their teachings wrong. They had their doctrine wrong. They had their laws wrong. They had everything wrong. He praised them for one thing. He said, there's one thing you have right. It's the tithe. You tithe on everything. Every little bit of mint that you get, you tithe on. That's the one thing that you have right. So you have a dilemma there. But listen, I'm okay. I'm okay if you say it's the Old Testament model. It's the Old Testament model. If you want to believe that, that's fine. So I would assume then you want to live in the New Testament. Pastor, I don't want to live in the Old Testament. I don't want to live in the New Testament model. Right? Okay, I'm New Testament, I'm free, I live under the new covenant, the blood's covered me, I live under the new covenant. Okay, so we'll do away with the old covenant, forget the tithe. Forget the tithe, you don't have to, there's no tithe, not under the New Testament covenant as you interpret it. And so here's the thing, if you're going to live under the New Testament model, if you're going to change your life and say, okay, I'm going to be holy and I'm going to be righteous and I'm going to do all that God says. Here's the thing about the New Testament model. Ooh, I hope it didn't break any over here. Here's the New Testament model. It's found in Acts chapter 4. That's the New Testament model. See, in the Old Testament model, God says, give 10% to me, the Old Testament model. In the New Testament model, Acts chapter 4, they brought all, somebody say all, they brought all that they had to the apostles' feet and laid it at his feet, and every man received as was his need to meet his need, no more and no less. So listen, I'm cool with that. If you want to adopt the New Testament model, I'm cool with that. Go tomorrow and have them make your paycheck out to the Rock Church. Okay? Oh yeah, Pastor, I'm gonna live in the New Testament model. Here's my paycheck. I'm just gonna have them make it. In fact, we'll just do a direct deposit straight into the Rock Church. And you and the board sit down and you decide how much I need and what can be paid out and I'll get what I need and no more, and everybody else will get what they need and no more. Now, how many want to sign up for that? Now, I'm not advocating that. I'm being facetious. My point is, you have a moral dilemma. If you don't believe in the tithe and you don't want to practice, it's not about Old Testament and New Testament. It's not about any of that. It's about, I want to keep as much of it as I possibly can. And maybe I'll give God a tip. Thank you, God. Appreciate your service. Wow. Thank you, God. Appreciate your service. Let me kind of try to finish this and close this down. I love preaching about this subject. I could preach for several hours about this subject. Here's the thing that's just so incredible. Think about it just straight in a business sense for a moment. Just strictly in a business sense for a moment. If a businessman came to you, we have several businessmen that are here this morning. If a businessman came to you and he said, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to set you up. Here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to put you in business. I'm going to put you in a business that you love and that you are good at. Not only that, I'm going to train you. I'm going to give you the skills. I'm going to give you the talent. I'm going to give you the ability to do what you love to do. I'm going to pour gifts and talents and ministries inside of you. Oh, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. It'll be hard. You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to get an education. You're going to have to apply yourself. You're going to have to start at the bottom and work up. But I'm going to tell you this. Listen, I'm going to strike a deal with you. I'm going to set you up. Not only that, if you fail, I got your back. Don't worry about failing. If you fail, I got your back. Don't worry about failing. Yes, you might fail. There are going to be days when you don't have enough, that you're going to make some bad decisions. You're going to make some wrong investments. You're going to do some things you shouldn't do. But listen, don't worry about it. I got a deep pocket, and I've got your back covered. And you're going to come through it. Not only that, in the end, I'll guarantee your success. There is no way ultimately that you will fail. There's no way that you ultimately will not have enough. I'll promise you that there'll be food on your table. There'll be clothes on your back. There'll be a roof over your head. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to give you a castle and a Cadillac. I am telling you that I'm going to meet your need, and I'll guarantee that to you. And here's the best part. The best part is this. You get to keep 90% of the profits. All you have to give me is 10%. Now, who in this room would not sign up for that deal? Right? Sign me up, man. Start the training today, right? Start the training today. I want in on this deal today. I want to start earning the 90% today. I want to be in it today. Well, guess what? That is what God has done with your life when it comes to the tithe. God has said, I'm going to set you up. I'll train you. I'll give you talents. I'll give you gifts. I'll give you ability. I'll quicken your mind. I'll make you smarter than you are. I'll make you smarter than you are. I'll make you more clever than you are. I'll give you talents and abilities and gifts. I will equip you. I will train you. I'll put you through the mill. Oh, yeah, I'll put you through the mill. You're going to have to start at the bottom and work up. There's going to be some hard days where you're going to have to work. There's going to be some days when, listen, I love you, but there's going to be some days you're going to fail. There's going to be some days that you're going to make a bad decision. There's going to be some seasons because of those decisions that maybe you aren't quite able to make ends meet, but that's okay because I've got your back. I've got you covered. I'm not telling you that it's not going to be stressful and worry. I'm just telling you, don't worry about it, because I've got you covered. I've got your back. Not only that, in the end, I'll guarantee your success. I'll promise you that I'll put clothes on your back, and I'll put shoes on your feet, and I'll put food in your mouth, and I'll put a roof over your head, and I'll give you a camel when you need a camel, or a bicycle if you need a bicycle, but I've got you covered. And the best part of the whole deal is this. All I want out of the deal is 10%. You keep the 90%. I will ask you from time to time to give a little extra. And when I do, please just be sensitive to that, because after all, I've given you 90%. There'll be somebody that'll come across your life that'll have a need, or maybe the church will have a need, or maybe there's something that's going on, and you'll need somebody to invest in to your life. But that's okay, because remember I told you would have hard times? Well, guess what? I'll bring somebody else along to invest in your life. Give you a bag of peas when you need a bag of peas. Carton of eggs when you need a carton of eggs. Bag of rice when you need a bag of rice. That's what God has said. That's what the tithe's about. The tithe is about the partnership of life. We've made it about so much else. Tithe isn't about all of that other stuff. It's about the partnership of life, where I know that God is the source for all. Somebody say all. God is the source of it all. And he has said, Glenn, it's yours. All I ask is the 10%, and you be sensitive enough to give above and beyond when I ask you to, when I require you to. And I've got your back all along the way. And guess what? You're going to succeed. You're going to make it. You're going to get through. Pastor, what's the point this morning? The point this morning is twofold. One is, maybe you're here this morning and you have seen the tithe in the wrong way. Maybe you've seen the tithe as a legalistic thing, as a church requirement or a membership requirement or a God requirement of some kind of way. And you've seen it in some kind of legalistic, religious way. And I hope this morning from this that you've seen that's not what it's about. This is about the contract of life. This is about making life work and about trusting God, about trusting Him. The other thing this morning is maybe there's some, in fact, I know a congregation this side, I know there is. I haven't looked at the books. I'm not sure who tithes and who doesn't tithe. I haven't done that. There'd be nothing wrong with that, by the way. As your leader, I would think you would perhaps want me. You know, but I haven't. But I know this from the congregation this size, and I know this from where we are financially. I know there's some folks here that aren't tithing, and so I challenge you this morning. Get in on God's plan. Get in on God's plan. He's done this in your life because He loves you. Will you not do this because you love Him and give to Him? Well, Pastor, I don't know. I'm one of those people that you mentioned earlier. I freely admit that I have overspent the 90%. Can I challenge you this morning to do this? Now, listen, this may mess some of you up at first, but just listen to me all the way through. Listen, I get that. I was blessed because I had a mother who taught me to tithe from a young age, and so Jerilyn and I and her parents taught her to tithe, so we've never run into that problem. I was blessed in that regards, but I know that many people today have it. If you can't afford the 10% right now, I challenge you. Can you afford the 5%? If you can't afford the 5%, can you afford the 2%? And I know there's some of you that are really, you know, that your hair wants to stand up and say, whoa, Pastor, you're giving permission. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Here's what I'm doing. I'm challenging you to trust God. You say, God, you see, and I admit and I repent for what I've done with my finances, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give the 2% or the 5% or the 8% or the 3%, whatever it is. I'm going to give that, and I'm going to trust you. And God, every month or 2 months or quarter, whatever it is, I'm going to start at 2%, and I'm going to give 3%. And in a month, I'm going to give 4%. In a month, I'm going to give, because here's what I know. Here's what I know. If you will test God in this, God will prove Himself every single time. I've been in ministry 26 years. I'm 48 years old and been in church all my life. I've never once. Miss Joy has been in church a lot longer than I have. I've never once met a single person who regretted tithing. Not once. Never once. So Joy, have you ever met anybody regretted tithing? Never have I met anybody. Just Virginia and just Alvina, y'all were some of our most senior. Have you ever met anybody that regretted tithing? No, never. But I've met a lot of people. I've met a lot of people who would say, I wish I had started this a long time ago. I wish I had learned to trust God a long time ago. I wish I had learned to give to Him a long time ago. I cannot believe how the strings of greed and selfishness have broken in my life because I've begun to honor God. Because in the end, it's not about dollars and cents. He owns all the cattle on all of the hills, and He owns the hills too. He doesn't need our beans and our peas and our rice and our 10% in a monetary way. To Him, it's just peanuts in the grand scheme of things. The issue is I need to tithe. Because when I tithe, I learn to trust God. That's the big deal. That's the big deal. Remember I asked you a question a while ago, what's the big deal with tithing? Here's the big deal. The big deal with tithing is this. Because when I tithe, I learn to trust God. I learn to trust Him. This morning, I encourage you. Get in on God's plan. Get in on God's plan. And allow God to free you and to loose you that trust and that confidence in Him to arise to a whole other level. Listen, this will impact your daily, everyday life in ways that you cannot imagine. Why? Because when you trust Him, oh my goodness, church, life takes on a whole different, it opens up a whole different book, a whole different avenue, a whole different way of looking at life. And after all, what a plan He has given in my life. I'm going to trust Him. Amen? It's good preaching this morning. If you agree, say amen. Stand to your feet. Father, I just come to You right now. I came to You the beginning of this service, and I ask You for us to hear a word from You. Lord, I know that there are some individuals here this morning that wholeheartedly support this word that has been preached. They've received it to the fullest degree because they've practiced it in their life. They see what it is. They know that off the top, that Lord, they take Your 10% right off the top before they do anything else, Lord. And they also are open to You moving on them to give above and beyond. They support it wholeheartedly. I thank You for those individuals. I pray for them this morning that You will continue to increase. Continue, Lord, to lengthen their tent cords. Continue, Lord, to expand their horizons, Lord. Continue to help them, Lord, to live in abundance where it flows in and it flows through and it flows out. Lord, I also know that there are some this morning, they're trying. And they just haven't gotten there. They're just, Lord, and they're struggling. And some may even be considering, should I continue to pay my tithe? Should I continue to do that, and they're struggling with it. So I thank You that this morning. I pray that this message will be encouragement to them, that everybody goes through tough times. Everybody, tithing or not, it's part of Your process of equipping us and training us and raising us up. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that great confidence will come into their life, that You do have their back, that they are not going to fail, and even if they do, You catch them in Your hand. Thank You for that, God. Thank You for that, Lord. And Lord, as they continue to tithe, Lord, I pray for increase in them, increase in their businesses, an increase in their finances, an increase in their generosity towards You. And Lord, there's some that are here this morning that just haven't gotten there. Maybe they've dabbled at tithing a time or two, or maybe they give here and there, or maybe they don't give anything. Lord, I cannot imagine living in that place, in a place that doesn't honor You and feeling every day like I've got to do it myself, that it all depends upon me. If I don't look out for myself, nobody will. I cannot imagine living there, but that's where they're living. So, Lord, I pray for them this morning. I pray that You open their eyes, that they can see that you are more powerful than they, that you have their life planned out, that you can supply all that they need, that you have a better way of doing life than they've been doing it. It is to join in partnership with you and to do life your way, in which, Lord, they can do more with the 90% than they ever could have with the 100%. Because they've honored you with the tithe and they're open then to giving above and beyond that as your Spirit leads them. So I pray for them this morning. So that we might all this morning, Lord, enter into this partnership of life that is called generosity, giving of the tithe and giving the offering. And I thank you that in the days to come, Lord, people are going to begin to walk in this at a level like they've never walked before. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you. And I am encouraged for what is ahead in their lives. Now today, Lord, I pray that you come by your Spirit and confirm the word that was preached with signs and wonders following, God. Because you're going to confirm what you said. And I thank you and I praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now look at me this morning before anybody moves. Look at me real quick. I challenge you this morning. That which you have been prompted in your heart, act on it and act on it quickly. Don't give this several days to cool down and try to figure it out. You act on what God has put on your heart and you act quickly. You act quickly and let God prove himself unto you. Amen? Amen. Until I see you again, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Go in the blessings of the Lord. I love you. God bless you.